Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 98, part 1, The Perfect Cleansing. Today is Friday, May 15th, 2009. April showers bring May flowers. Here we are, May 2009. Thank you for joining me. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota in the USA. Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in the Disciples Ministries historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. Now, if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you're a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. And you can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, the store, Twitter, and YouTube. So be sure to join us online at www.pastorpaul.org. You can also find show notes at the blog where you can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. And also at the blog, you're going to find links to scriptures within the show notes, so be sure to go to check those out. I hope you're enjoying our two-part podcast episodes that are aired on Friday night as well as Sunday morning. So be sure to check both parts out. God bless you and have a great week. Have a great spring. And don't forget to smell the flowers along the way.
Tonight's tape is entitled, The Perfect Cleansing. And let's try to settle down now. The Perfect Cleansing. And let us now continue ministering the gospel out of Joel 3 and 21, then, for I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed. For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed. Are you hearing this now? And try to, I want to get your attention now. This is important for you to hear this message. And I believe this speaks of a great truth which lies at the very foundation of the gospel system. That the blood of Jesus Christ, God's dear Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, you can't say that too much. And then when we are washed completely. Not one spot remains on us. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And if one sin then did remain on us, God could in no way accept us. It is applied by the Holy Spirit and is received by faith, and this clears our consciences. Are you hearing this? This is the way we are totally cleansed, completely forgiven, all of our sins put away. Now, you're going to have to minister to this, folks, at the end time, because there's going to be a whole lot of other gospels coming out. Well, you say, what does this mean? For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed. Well, of course, that refers to the uncalled among God's elect. They're God's elect, and they haven't been called yet. They are not as yet cleansed. They have not been washed yet. They haven't received the promise, but they will. That's God's promise. Those that are far off, they shall repent, the Bible says. A new heart also will I give them. And a right spirit will I put within them. And I will sprinkle pure water upon them. And they shall be clean. Now this is God speaking. From all their iniquities and from all their transgressions, I will cleanse them. Now you got to remember, that's God speaking. I mean, this is a promise of the Lord. A new heart also will I give them, and a right spirit will I put within them, and I will sprinkle pure water upon them, and they shall be clean. From all their iniquities and from all their transgressions will I cleanse them. Glory. Woo. Now I want you to get this firmly rooted in your minds. Never ever doubt that the uncalled will not be saved. They will be saved. They haven't been called yet. But the elect, God will save. There's a lot of them out there. Tonight, three of them came to the Lord. And this afternoon, there was other ones coming to the Lord right here in this mission. They were God's elect. And they were called with an effectual calling. Are you born again? And something quickens in their spirit. And all of a sudden they find themselves saying, Jesus, come into my heart. Yes, I'm a sinner. Because when he chooses, he also calls. For whom it says he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Praise the Lord. See, divine sovereignty has spoken. Now, can you do anything about that? He's saying, as for the rest of my elect, as yet unwashed, as yet unsaved from all their iniquities, I will cleanse their blood, which I have not cleansed. Are you hearing this? And so, then going on, let's tonight look at two thoughts tonight. Two senses in which the believers, already the believers in Christ's blood, which as yet has not been cleansed. Well, you say, what do you mean by that? Well, number one, there still remains, I believe, in the minds of some of the regenerate, a certain consciousness of sin. Their consciences has not been thoroughly purged from dead works. And then number two, we'll enter into this, it is an undoubtful fact that in the nature even of the regenerate, there still remains the trace of the old depraved blood which needs to be cleansed away. Listen carefully. And which, according to the promise, will soon be removed. There is something within our blood. There is something within us. Some sin, some believing of there is sin in you, some traces of doubt, a trace of the old depraved blood which needs to be cleansed away. So number one, the first sense, guilt upon the conscience. The promise is given to the believers who have any guilt still troubling their consciences, I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed. I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed. Now, if our faith was as it should be, we would know then this, that there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, believers in Jesus Christ. There is no condemnation. See, that sin of unbelief is there. Because there's a warring in our members all of the time. You know, if our faith was always simple and we had a clear single eye towards our Savior, we would never doubt our acceptance. But we have a sort of a frail faith, don't we? Many times it staggers at the promises. Our justified souls then begin to doubt its justification. Many of us sitting here right now tonight, listening on the radio, this tape, know that we have full assurance that the blood does a complete job, that we are forever justified, and yet we still have guilt in our consciences. We really know this, and we really know Jesus Christ. And if we really did know him, and we did know him in a real way, I'm trying to say, listen carefully, we would know that Jesus Christ has made us guiltless, has made us innocent, has made us pure, has made us whole in every way, clean. Do you think then that we would doubt your salvation? No, you would not. If we really knew that. And so you see, there is some sin that yet has to be washed away. If we could look upon ourselves in the Christ as being without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And that's what we are. Do you think there would be any doubt of our eternal salvation? If we really, really believe the promise? No. But we don't believe the promise, do we? All the way. There's doubt there. Do you think you have a secret sin that God doesn't know about? Friend, the blood hath done it. Oh, if we ever would get that down into our spirit, glory to God, we would never doubt again. Do you not all think once in a while, God will give up on me? I know there's people all over that think, I believe God is going to give up. I'm going to sink at the very last. Oh, and you come to think of him as a severe taskmaster rather than a tender father. You think he will withdraw his love, he will withdraw his sympathy, that he will withdraw his power. But listen, if you really believe to be perfectly cleansed from sin, you would think, you would not think this way. No, you would not. See, no, you would say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away, and blessed be the name of the Lord forever. Amen. See, it's all in our confession, isn't it? You would be willing to leave everything in his hands. But then that dark thought seems to creep in, that sin within you, that God is punishing you for sin, that in chastisement there is mixed something penal, that the rod is judgment, and this shows me that your conscience is not thoroughly cleansed of sin. If your conscience were clear, would you know this? Would you think this? No, our consciences are not clear. How we know what I'm saying here is the truth. And say we have to deal with these things. Not penal afflictions, but loving deeds of a tender father who longed to make you perfect like himself. God wants to make you perfect like himself. But you see, this guilty conscience within, this unbelieving spirit within us, this saying that God has left, that I don't know if I'm justified or not, I don't know if I make it, I think God is far away from me. That unbelief, and that unbelief is sin. Are you hearing this today? We pray, but we don't pray like we're praying right, like to the Father, like children. We pray like we're praying to a building. Say amen. Jan called me today. She says, I said, well, yes, we did pray about this. She says, well, who did you pray with? I said, oh, I prayed with Jesus. I'm finding myself more and more talking about the Savior like he's sitting right with me. Well, who did you pray with? I started to think. I thought, well, I was praying with Jesus. I said, we prayed about it. Abba, Father. Are you hearing? That's a step closer. That is a step closer away from a guilty conscience. And I know a lot of people sit with guilty conscience all over the audiences when I'm managing. You just see it all over their faces. They feel like, oh, I'm not going to make it, so why even try? Say amen, somebody. I'm not going to make it. I know I'm not going to make it. I know that God is going to leave me in the end. I don't feel like there's anything like of salvation. And when I die, that'll be the end of it. How many have them thoughts? Go ahead and put your hands up. Y'all have them type of thoughts. Yes, you do. And I think a lot of Christians are in the outer court worshipers, standing praying at a building, never expecting an answer, and afraid they will get one. Praying to a building. Not acting like they were children. Never carrying on a conversation with our Heavenly Father. And why don't we do that? Because we feel that people would be shocked. Hey, you can talk to your Heavenly Father. You can go boldly to the throne room. You have one interceding for you forever up there. Has nothing to do with your feelings. Has nothing to do with your sin nature. Has nothing to do with it. It's all taken care of. Are you hearing this? But when we know we are fully justified, when we know we are complete in Him, when we know we stand holy and pure before Him, when we know there is no sin remaining, then we can go boldly to the throne room of God. Cry out, who shall lay charge of anything, charge against God's elect? See, when you start to confess those things, when you feel those things in your member, who will lay charge against me? Will principality or power? Will things present or things to come? Will any created being be able to separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? No, you can't do it. God doesn't want to do it. He won't do it. He won't break His promise. And so when we start to confess those things and start living in the victory, glory to God, we start acting like we are the children of God and we go boldly to the throne room and God answers our prayers and we are purified. How many are hearing this? Woo! How we need to know these things. Once let the soul know, I'm saying, that it has perfect peace through believing in its perfect purity in Christ. And oh, what a wonderful nearness that we'll have with our Father. Oh, glory to God. Finally, I'm beginning to inch in on that. Finally, I'm beginning to move in on that nearness to God. I know that I'm justified. Say amen, somebody. Knowing that you're justified. How many want to have that total assurance? Praise God. There's a lot of people that need to hear this message. My God, they've been fighting a battle all by themselves. They've been listening to all of their friends. They've been listening to all the defeated conversations. See, when we get into that, He will be our God, but He also will be our friend. And so you see, many believers still carry guilt, or else they would come boldly to God. Why do we shrink from these promises? I'll tell you why. Oh, I'm unworthy. I am so unbelieving. I am so ungrateful. I am so unheavenly. Oh, the promises would never come to such as I. Don't you know when you say that word, I am unworthy, you are acting like you are under the covenant of works instead of grace? What has your worthiness to do with it anyway? What does your worthiness have to do with it anyway? Is that something to boast about? Or for that matter, what does your unworthiness have to do with it? Nothing. God didn't choose you for your worthiness. Christ didn't purchase you for your goodness. The Holy Spirit didn't call you because of your excellent virtues. Nor will you be saved because of your inherent virtues within you. The fact is, you are still conscious of the evil still remaining in you. And that's what's holding you back. Oh, if your heart knew itself to be totally purged from dead works, freed from sin, wow, you'd never stagger at the promise. Stop talking to yourself, in other words. Say amen, somebody. Excuse me? Brother? Can we believe that tonight? Can we start to feel ourselves coming into the newness of life by believing the promise? Say amen, somebody. Can we start to believe that? Oh, we like to believe there's that evil inside, and of course there is. But don't start looking at that. Start looking to Christ. Start looking at the one that justifies you. Start looking at the one that is making you pure and holy and already has, and you receive that by faith, and you go on in the newness of life instead of looking back once you picked up the plow, and you walk forward with that. Now that will help you out a whole lot. Are you hearing this? Because there's so many people are up one day, and they're right up there, and then they're way up there, and now they're all holy for that day. Boy, do I feel holy. And then something happens and some of their evil nature is shown, so they go on that. Oh, I don't feel holy today. I was evil, so why even go on with it? Why even bother going to church? I'll never make it. That has nothing to do with it. Your unworthiness or your worthiness has nothing to do with God's plan. He hath done it. It is a completed work. Now, you got to get that ingrained into your mind so you're never able to go on with God. Say amen, somebody. You'll be up and down, up and down, up and down. Oh, I'm righteous today, I'm unrighteous tomorrow. How many hearing this? Oh, God! See, we need to start to believe the promise. Now, for 1 minute, if I didn't believe the promise, I wouldn't be down here. Say amen, somebody. How many are beginning to know their own evil nature? God, I am. Hasn't got a thing to do with it, though, has it? Has nothing to do with it. Now, God, knowing this, says, I will cleanse their blood, which I have not cleansed. Stop worrying about that blood that isn't cleansed. The promise of God is, I will cleanse their blood, which I have not cleansed. I will make your conscience yet so pure of sin that you can take the promise and believe it to be your very own, all your own. I'll do it. Yeah, but I still feel this little bit of, you know, there's just something about me I don't like. God says, I'm going to take care of that. Don't you worry about that. I'll take care of that. Worry is a form of fear. And fear brings a doubt, and it brings torment. But just get off that now. It's no longer you that lives, but Christ in you, the hope of glory. The only thing that's keeping you back there is the sense of your own evil nature, and you're not supposed to be dealing with it. It's all mine, and nobody else wants it. I sure don't. Don't worry about that old evil nature. God's going to take care of that old Adam. I will cleanse their blood, which I have not cleansed. Woo. And another thing to me that demonstrates at once that the conscience of some believers is not totally purged from sin is this. That people are afraid to die. They just totally are afraid to die. Or in even just giving a part of their life. It's unbelief. Shows me when a person doesn't want to give a part of their life to the work of the Lord. Wherever it may be. Here or there or wherever. They're saying in essence, oh, I don't believe. And I don't want to invest my life, that part of my life, in something I don't totally believe in. If you really believed in the justification by faith, and you really believed the promises of God, you could not work enough for Jesus Christ. Let me tell you that, folks. Say amen, somebody. How many heard that one? I hope you heard it, and I hope you heard it good, because it's the only thing that will bring you any kind of joy and any kind of peace is believing the promises of God that you are totally saved, 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 and saved to the very uttermost and past that, if it's possible, and on and on and on, and you're already seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, and you're hidden in Christ in God, and let's get on with the Lord's work, because God has already done it, and it should make you so glad, but you see, we don't really believe it, except because if we really believed it, my God, we'd be jumping all over the place. Say amen, somebody. We wouldn't be walking around with great big frumpy jowls hanging all the way down, banging underneath the armpits. My God, did you hear what I said tonight? Woo! How many hear this? Jumping joy we give you. No, you just got to see it as a finished work. And then we have a fear of diseases. Cancer! Ah! Huh? When the conscience is completely free from guilt, it has no more fear. I had a terrible fear of dying before I got saved. You know what I mean? Well, it didn't hit me all the time, but once in a while I'd think about it. I'd think, man, someday you're going to die. And then what are you going to do? When you die, die, die. Right after I got saved, I lost that fear. I lost it. I don't know where it went, and I don't care where it went. I don't want to find it again. But I lost the fear of dying. I know sometimes it doesn't happen to folks all the same way, but it left me. Probably because it was one of my bigger fears. Probably because I didn't know where I was going. Now I know where I'm going. Say amen, somebody. But I lost it. I lost that fear, glory to God, and I lost some sin. Every time you lose a certain fear and you believe God for a promise, then you lose some kind of sin. Say amen, somebody. Every time. Oh, I'm afraid to do this or that. It isn't you doing it. My God, if it's you doing it, you should be afraid. You should be trembling, your knees should be knocking, your teeth should be falling out, they'd be chattering so bad. Because, see, when you try to do something on your own might and your own power, and the Bible says that you're dead, you should be afraid. Because you're a dead person getting up in front of people. Say amen, somebody. I ain't going to do nothing for an audience. We're supposed to be a lively hope, and the only way to be a lively hope is when we're hidden in Christ and God. We know we're doing the Lord's work, and we're ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you hearing this? You can't be afraid. You just can't be afraid, because fear and faith, they cannot stand together. Sin then is the sting of death, and the strength of sin is the law. It's gone. I'm no more under the law. Well, what does that mean? That means I'm not under the law. I don't have to worry about breaking the law, because I'm not under it. Now I'm free to do whatever. I'm a free agent. Well, you see, then you could just go out and sin. Oh, I could. But the love of God constrains me. Now the very things that I would do, I can't do, and I might even want to, but I just can't do it. Why? Because grace is holding me. Because there's a new nature, there's an inner man, there's a new formation on the inside. Now the things I used to love to do, I hate, and the things I used to hate, now I love them. God, I'm so mixed up, I don't know where I'm going. When you first get saved, you just get mixed up. Well, why don't I want to do those things? Well, you just don't want it because you just don't want it because the Spirit says don't do them, and something happens on the inside, you just don't want to do it no more. Why? Can you explain it? No. You almost think you're kind of weird. Well, you are to the world. Say amen, somebody. Lord, you start to feel guilty about that. Oh, don't we like to feel guilty about things? My God, we just live in guilt and fear and frustration. We just love to wallow in it. Oh, I've been walking away from the Lord, and now I know His love has changed. It says He has an unchangeable love. Well, does that mean everything is whoopee? Yeah, it's whoopee, but you're going to have a few spiritual spankings and things is going to happen, some chastisements. Say amen, somebody. That's nothing to do with the love of God. The love of God chastises those that He loves. Now you know you're loved. Well, I take it as a judgment. That has nothing to do with it. Your worthiness or unworthiness has nothing to do with it. How many are hearing this? Oh, do we just like to get puffed up? It's a form of puffiness. It is. Well, I was really bad, so now God's judgment is upon me. God's chastisement is upon you. But there is no judgment. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. There's conviction. There's God looking at you. Where have you been? That's enough. Worry about the one that sins against you. They're in worse shape. How would you like to be them? You can play the part of the martyr. Oh, pardon me. Huh? But how about the guy that does it? How'd you like to be in his boots? Will you have a little mercy? You listening on the radio or to this tape, will you have a little mercy on those that have sinned against you? Who are you anyway? You know, they aren't sinning against you, they're sinning against God. And they're going to get it. They're not going to get it because you want them to get it. It's because God loves them so much, he's going to give it to them. You understand that? Every time something happens to people, God's judgment is upon them. Are you hearing this? There is therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And when we do fail and falter, then God chastises us. It's as simple as that. Ooh, but there's no fear of death anymore because we know God. Fear starts to leave when you know God. Fear about the bills and worries about this and that. And God gives you directions. Maybe you'll say, sell all you have and follow me, and that'll take care of your worry. Now that'll start a whole lot of people worrying, you know what I mean? Oh God, don't ever say that to me. I wouldn't know what to do if I sold everything. Well, see, there you are again. Get out of the picture. God will show you what to do. You're supposed to follow Jesus. Say amen, somebody. And then on the other hand, there's a whole lot of people with a guilty conscience that don't listen to the Word of God. And every time they goof up, then they say, oh, okay, God, I'll give you everything I have. I'll sell everything and follow you. God doesn't want that. Check it out with God first. See, it's this old guilty conscience that really has been completely purged of all sin, washed as clean as ever could be. But that old evil nature inside there just keeps you believing that. No. God says, well, I'll take care of that. So can't you rest in that? Doesn't that give you peace? I mean, you that are struggling with all, tormented by all kinds of sins and attitudes. And Jesus says, I'll take care of that. I'll cleanse that blood that isn't cleansed yet. Well, doesn't that give you some kind of peace? Does me. Ooh, see, if we don't receive that, we neglect to go to the mercy seat. We tremble at the promise. Well, I can believe half the promise, but not the whole promise. How'd you like to have half a car or half a gift? No, you want the whole thing. Are you hearing this? All these things prove that the blood is not entirely cleansed from off the conscience. I think people ought to start to meditate on the promise. Because he lives, you must live also. And because he reigns, you must reign with him. Saved. Right in the middle of hating yourself. Right in the middle of a botch. For I'm saved, huh? Well, it will make you feel good. Try it. Right in the middle of a botch. For I'm saved. When you're feeling like you are a total wimp, for I'm saved. Well, don't you believe it? Say amen, somebody. It's only that legalistic attitude that will keep you from pleading the promise. No, when we open up and our consciences begin to be cleansed, oh, glory to God, and we begin to believe the promise, and we start to meditate on it. For I will cleanse the blood that I have not cleansed. Oh, what a great choir we would be if only we knew the complete blood cleansing. If only we knew and we could rapture in that, the complete cleansing. It'd make you feel so good, huh? You'd be singing to each other. You'd encourage each other. Oh, brother, I did this and I did that and I did this and I did that and so on. And you'd all start to sing together. For we're saved, saved, saved. And here's a brother that just, I mean, he just totally, there's degrees of unbelieving, and there's some people that are just total unbelievers that are believers, and they're just sitting there, you know, and you just got to keep singing to them. Huh? And you got to keep getting up in their face. For you're saved, saved, saved. And then someone will come along. Of course, the devil's emissary will come along. Are you still saved? That is the devil. That is the spirit of the Antichrist. You are not saved because you're not like me. That is the unbelieving spirit of the Antichrist. And it's going to come on thick and heavy. Why is that? Because the blood isn't preached. The cross isn't preached. Justification isn't preached. Redemption. Total acceptance. All those messages are kind of laid aside, and Satan doesn't want anybody to preach about them because they're just basics, don't you see? But oh, how we need to hear and get back to the very basics, which are so deep and so high and so wide that you can't get around, you can't get over, and you can't get under. You got to come in at the door, and we better start preaching gospel people right now, because people need to hear the gospel message. You are saved, saved, saved. Instead of the devil coming up and telling a person, you're not saved, you're not worthy, you're the most unholy thing that ever walked the face of the earth. You are a scunge and a scoundrel, and God will have nothing to do with you. And that's because we have this conscience that we don't believe has been cleansed by the blood. Oh, if we could only grasp it! See, a guilty conscience will keep you stumbling. Do you ever have a guilty conscience about something? It's like everybody's looking at you. You go in a place and nobody knows you. And you're in California and you walk in the place and you did something wrong in Minnesota, and everybody just sort of glances at you, and you've got a guilty conscience, so you don't know what to do with yourself, you know. Don't you know that that's why a lot of folks drink and take drugs and all kinds of things, is because they have guilty consciences? And even after they're saved, they don't know that it's been completely purged by the blood of Jesus Christ, and they don't believe that, and so they go on torturing themselves and everybody around them. Why don't you get holy like me? And then the very person that preaches that, they fall down flat on their face. Why? Because it's not after the power of God. It's by might. And it's by power of the flesh. It's by self-justification. Ooh. Ooh, what a free feeling that gives us when we know, because we know, because we know, because we know. Sort of like the compass needle. We seek out the Father. Huh? Always going after Him. When we know, then sin loses its power. When we have a real grasping of the promise of God and the regenerating power and the blood of Jesus Christ and what it has already done, sin loses its power over us. It does. when we fully understand, ooh, glory to God, fully know. Getting better, brother. You woke up with a squeak. Oh, God help us. Ooh. I'm staying here tonight, and I hope, oh, glory to God, help me get it across. If the hell within us be quenched, we shall know that there is no hell without us, for us. The hell and the only hell that you'll ever have is living inside, because it's a spirit of unbelief. And so when you're unbelieving, where does that leave you? It leaves you open for every type of disease and sin. The disease of sins I'm talking about leaves you wide open. And another thing that won't help you is your mental attitude. Your guilty conscience. You become weak and feeble and you can't plead the promises. Oh, I'm saved, I guess. I'd like to believe that. I hope I am. I pray I am. God, I pray that I might be saved. No, I thank you that I am saved. Well, that's like somebody going for their check. And they go up to get their check. Could I have my check or part of it? Give me 25%. Oh, that's all right. It's okay. I didn't work like I should have. Who would ever do that? Isn't that funny? The flesh knows more. Huh? Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Ask the spirit what you're supposed to ask for. Full assurance, fully justified by faith. Now, if you don't believe that you're worth that money, the boss will say, well, you figure you're worth 25%. Well, hey, I'm a sport. Here's 30%. Now, it's the same way the devil does to folks. Yeah. Because it's the only thing you're going to get at God is by what you believe for. Amen, somebody. What are you believing for tonight? The only thing that will keep you from believing is if there's that guilty conscience on the inside. Well, I should have a guilty conscience. Because I did this, and I did this, and I did this. But why did you do it? Because you were living with a guilty conscience. And a guilty conscience is a sick conscience. You're going to fall again. You know you. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. You're going to look at that dirty porno magazine. Yes, you will. You're gonna go on down there and do this and that. Yes, you will. You know yourself. You know yourself. Yes, you do. Oh, you should feel guilty. And you should feel guilty about even before you're going to do it. So feel guilty about it before you even do it. Start feeling guilty. Oh, I do. Huh? Don't you see what I'm saying? And then that sin that's in you holds a power over you. All right. See, it's all of God. None of self. The only thing you have to do is but to believe, hallelujah, and God will give you the power to overcome. So if you're till a tear.